is a Vencast Studio production.
We are back. Hey, it's good.
Welcome, welcome to episode 25 of Riding the Pine. I am Hondo here with Guy and Stat God.
Good.
All right. So we are in a little bit of a shortened week. All right. Hey, before we get started with this, we have to go episode 25. It is a trash list this week. This is the Rakim Christmas, Chandler Parsons, Austin Rivers, Thabo Sefolosa, and Elliot Williams episode.
Elliot Williams.
Hey, you know, just throwing them out there. So,
well, don't forget Steve Kerr as well.
I'm never going to forget Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. So you know what? We're going to go right into it. We have to go right into it. There's no other option. So we are going to go right into gameplay. So we are going to go. Right into gameplay this week. We're going to do what we do every week, and we're going to go right into the gameplay highlights. There was surprisingly little basketball this week because we're in All-Star Week. We're recording Sunday, February 19th.
Hours before
the Eastern versus Western Conference All-Star game. So we'll talk a little bit about All-Star Weekend that's unfolded up to this point as we get into this episode. So let's get into some games for this last week. So our RTP game of the week. This was the Wizards winning over the Thunder 120-98. I thought this game was going to be better than it was, and it did not hold up to that at all.
I was really looking forward to this game, and I turned it off at halftime. So, no offense, but no commentary on it.
What I do like in this is that Roberson comes to visit us at the O-Man's Lounge. So, in a game that he needed to show up for.
Welcome.
Westbrook had almost no production in this game, but the Wizards were crushing it. There's six guys that had double digits scoring in this game. I think Morris was leading with 23.
Okay, cool.
So. There's one stat in this game, Stat God, that I haven't seen in the last couple of years of looking at stats. A 40 percentage point differential in three-point shooting for the game. So the Wizards shot like 61%, whereas the OKC was about 20% from the field.
Sure.
That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. So just OKC, stay away from the three-point line. Just drive.
Yeah.
Just a better idea.
The question that this brings up for me, this particular game, and it made me think about this because this was a home game for the Thunder, right?
Yeah.
Are the OKC home games the riskiest games to buy tickets to as a fan, right? Because, like, you're either going to get this shit where, Washington shoots well, OKC decides that they're going to rely on the three-pointer because that's what they do every now and then.
Yeah.
And you get results like this, or you're just going to get some Westbrook 45-point triple-double with some fourth-quarter magic, and you're going to get, you know, one of the best games that you'll ever be able to see. And it's only one of those two things, right? It's totally binary.
High-risk, high-reward fan game.
Yeah, no just like, wow, that was a pretty good game. I feel like I got my money's worth. One or the other. So I'm sorry to all the OKC fans that ended up on the losing end of this one. But, you know, better luck next time, I guess.
But the thing about watching the Thunder is, but they're high-risk to watch anyways because they'll pull off some great upsets like that you may not get from other teams, but they'll also disappoint you. They'll be like the Kings in other games. So, but we're going to move on to a couple of other games of the week. A bit of a surprising game. This is from 215. This is the Heat over the Rockets, 117-109. There was some pretty good scoring from both Whiteside and I keep talking about Waiters. It just bugs me that I have to talk about Waiters winning games, but he's going off for like 23 in this game, as well as Whiteside. And Whiteside is like, he's very quietly the best rebounder in the NBA. Like, no one's talking about him. He's like, he's got Kawhi syndrome. No one's talking about him, but he's damn good.
Right.
So
Well, I mean, people are talking about Kawhi, but in the sense that no one really talks about the Spurs. When they do, they only talk about Kawhi.
Sure.
No one's talking about the Miami Heat until this recent, you know, win streak.
Yeah.
And because of the win streak, they're talking about Dion Waiters, all eyes on me, Dion Waiters, and Goran Dragic. Like, Whiteside has been half injured throughout that streak, as well as when he came back. Yeah, he's been producing and doing his due diligence, but, like, Waiters has been the show for the Heat this season.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hilarious because you don't want him to be your number one option, but they have no choice.
Yeah.
And then you talk to Heat fans, and they're like, we're on the come up, man.
They're on the come up. They're going for it right there.
Side note, this is staying in the episode. I got banned from our NBA for not talking trash, but just being completely honest and real with Heat fans. Saying, you should not be winning. You should not have Dion Waiters in the league. And I got banned.
You made fun of Dion Waiters, and as a result, you're now banned.
The 72-hour curse.
A couple other quick hits on this game. Tyler Johnson was 16 points in this game. Tyler, I haven't heard his name come up at all this season. Like, what impact does he have on the Heat at this point? Any?
No, let's move on.
Harden goes off for a triple-double, but Harden pulling 42 minutes. Are you risking too much as Houston by having him in that long? Like, 42 minutes is pretty excessive. Mm-hmm. Can he hold that all season? I mean, obviously, he has to be the catalyst for that team, but 42 minutes is just going to tax him. And if you're trying to make a run with him in the second half of the season, you cannot have him playing that many minutes.
42 minutes last year was a lot more than 42 minutes this year, which is kind of weird because it's the exact same amount of minutes.
Sure.
But he's doing a lot more on this team
mm-hmm.
With a lot less pressure on him.
Okay.
He's doing a lot, but he's passing it and getting reliable shooting from his outside core, where he was basically the person who had to get to the line all the time.
Yeah.
He had to do it all from inside and outside. And he had to play a little defense, too, last year. This year, he's not as...
He's playing less.
He's guarding
defense.
The Raul Netos of the league, you know? So.
He goes off for a pretty good game, though, in this one. 38, 12, and 12, which is not a bad game at all.
Yeah.
So one other thing about the Rockets, just as I was thinking about it, and I wanted your guys' opinion on this, is who is the second best player for the Rockets at this point? Is it Ryan Anderson, or who is it?
Definitely Eric Gordon, unless there's some objection to that.
No, absolutely no objection to that. And
okay.
I'm not just saying that because of three-point contest yesterday. Eric Gordon, I'd have to recheck the stats, but I know that at least through the first half of the season was the highest highest percentage three-point shooter in the league.
Yeah.
And only was, I think, like 20 or 25 made threes behind Steph. So he's doing it on relatively good volume, too. He's really kind of revitalized his career in terms of, like, a lot of people I know that when he was with the Pelicans were saying he was basically done, like,
mm-hmm.
too injury prone, you know, wasn't really as efficient as he used to be, you know, you can't rely on him to score, and they really, like, they're juicing him for all that he's worth right now, and he's really coming up, and I don't see the Rockets being anywhere near where they're at without him right now, and mm-hmm. I think that he's not as replaceable, obviously, other than Harden, as anybody else in that team. Like, he's been playing out of this world.
Yeah, I love what they've done with him, too. Like, they've put him on the bench. He's playing very impactful minutes as opposed to just a lengthier period as a starter. And he's not asked to do much except for sit on the three-point line and occasionally drive, but he's not trying to get, you know, too much contact on his knees or his ankles.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I was thinking about that, too, is when you're relying on a guy to score from every different space on the floor, right? You've got to imagine that that's going to be a little harder on the guy's body. And I'm not trying to make the argument that Eric Gordon isn't injury prone. In fact, I would say that based on history, he is, right? And that's why what the Rockets are doing is beautiful because, I mean, you're only running, 40, 45 out of the 90 feet that the basketball court actually
is, right? That's right.
And then you stand there and you jack up a three, and he's the perfect guy to do that, and it minimizes the risk as the Rockets. And like I said, I think that they realize everything that they have with him, mm-hmm. and they're building their offense around that and getting the best possible utility out of that one player. I think it was an awesome contract.
Yeah.
I think he's a great fit in that system. I love what they're doing with him.
Sure. Yeah, great point, dude. And to extend that back to what I was saying about James Harden, the exact same thing. James Harden isn't asked to score from everywhere on the court. He's asked to score from three or in the paint.
Yeah.
And the paint is easier for him because he's not really double team, triple team, because when he is, he's immediately passing it out. So
yeah. Okay, I want to move on to another game this last week, and this is a real quick hit game, but the Bulls over the Raptors, I'm calling this out because the Raptors losing to the Bulls is concerning. it's just concerning to me. The Bulls end up winning this one. This was on Valentine's Day, 105-94. Raptors starters are looking like trash in this game. So there's Carol Poetti and Valanciunas. Fuck, man. Vocab for NBA, brought to you by...
No. No offense, but that's a hard name to pronounce. It's Pirtle.
Pirtle?
Yeah. Jakob Pirtle out of Utah.
So I screw up both rappers' names as well as NBA players' names. It's uniformly screwed up throughout the podcast network.
Alternative pronunciations.
But this game is stupid though. From the fact that the Bulls end up winning this game, Taj Gibson and Butler have a decent game, but then they get no production from Lopez, Grant, and MCW in this game, and it's just like, what the hell is going on? But then you have Dougie McBuckets going for 20. Your leading scorer off the bench is Dougie McBuckets, and it ended up driving you into a victory for this game. I don't even know what to say.
The funny thing about the Bulls record is when they don't have Dwayne Wade, they're actually at a better percentage point than when they do. They rely more on their youth when they have less, you know, star power. And with Rondo on the bench, he's getting more reliable production from people like Bobby Portis and Doug McBuckets than when he's not on the bench. Because MCW, you saw like one of the highlights or lowlights of the week was on a 4-1 break against Minnesota. He chooses to pass it out of bounds. Yeah. So MCW with Jimmy Buckets is awesome. They have two buckets on their team. Jimmy Buckets and Doug McBuckets.
I like that you say Doug McBuckets so formally. So we just get recognized in the lexicon.
Well, you know what I'm saying. So the ball's in Jimmy Butler's hands, so Michael Carter-Williams doesn't really have to do the whole lot.
Sure.
And so he's never going to have a huge stat line like he ever did in his first game as Philadelphia 76er. But, and then the Rondo off the bench move is smart, just because it develops the young crew a little bit more with Portis, Felicio, and McBuckets.
So... that's enough. That's enough Bulls. I can't talk about the damn Bulls anymore. at least in this part.
Well, it's funny that you said though, in your last point in this game, should both teams stay away from the 3-point line? I think the answer is yes. They just don't. They just don't have it.
I want to go to the next game. This is OKC over the Knicks, 116-105. I didn't get a chance to watch this game, so you got a chance to watch this. Break down what happened in this game.
Just really quick. Melo and the Knicks started out red hot. They started 20-3. Melo had 19 in that quarter. They looked like they were poised for a pretty nice romping after OKC had a no-show against the other team, we were talking about earlier. But then Westbrook just took over. He's like, fuck this. And he just took it over. He scored 38 points. Basically, rest assured, he's going to get this W, carry his team on his back. No one else really did anything. Maybe Jerry and Grant scored like 19 off the bench or something. But the Knicks maybe had close to 60% from the field in the first half. They were leading by 12 at halftime or something. And they just go 38% from the second half. And so they completely do a 180. They just were shocked by Westbrook taking over the game, as if that's something that's not part of their game plan. And... he posted up a 30, his 27th, NBA leading record breaking triple double of the season.
Jesus.
And what was really funny about this game to me is that Porzingis was nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
But you saw Courtney Lee jacking up 23 pointers, and Derrick Rose being like, "Remember me? Fast does lie," and breaking his own ankles as much as others. And he takes 25 shots. And Melo takes, he's a volume shooter, but he takes, 25 shots. You see all that, and, Porzingis is your team now, and he scores, shoots 10 shots, makes 4, gets, 11 points. What is the role if he's only doing that, Really bums me out, but...
I'm really just impressed that you watched the Knicks game, because after the circus that they've had over the last week, I just haven't been into watching any Knicks basketball, so...
Well, I was at a bar with some peeps, and we were watching the Timberwolves.
Nuggets over Golden State? I don't recall watching this game, so StatGod, break down this game for us.
Yeah, this game was a lot of fun. I Man, so the Nuggets came out firing on all cylinders. It was an absolutely dirty performance by more or less everybody on that team.
Oh, yeah.
On the whole, they shot just about 60% from three on the way to tying the single game three-point record set by the Rockets earlier this season.
Yeah.
However, that's 24, by the way.
Yep. Yeah.
They did it on more than 20 less attempts than the Rockets did. The Rockets got 24. I believe it was on 65 attempts, and they did it on 40 attempts. They were just jacking these shots up. Yeah, and they just were just absolutely draining these shots. It was really spectacular to see. Jokic got his second career triple double.
Oh yeah,
while on his way of setting his career high in rebounds with 21. Mm-hmm. It was one team, and it's kind of like your dream as a fan of that team to not only see them firing on all cylinders. You know, every team is always like, "Oh, we'd be so much better. We just got to play better." You know,
yeah.
But they were doing it against, you know, pretty much consensus best team in the world. And just absolutely put him away. It was pretty awesome to watch.
Consensus best team in the world. I'm still going with the Globetrotters.
They're in town today.
No, they are not.
They're playing at Key Arena
today. Are they playing the Generals? Are they playing the Generals?
Dude, find out for me. I don't know.
RTP game of the week.
Yeah. But the funny thing was the headline for this game was not Hernan, .. the other Juan.
Oh no! Because
Juancho Hernan Gomez plays for.
your pronunciation is flawless. It's flawless for these foreign players.
Hernan Gomez plays for the Nuggets, and the other dude plays for the Knicks, and he went for a blistering 27. You know, wearing Dirk Nowitzki in true Nowitzki fashion, just bombing threes. And I think, you know, Jamal Murray had a good game too. This was awesome. If you ever have a chance to like watch this 9-minute recap of this game, it's hilarious just to see how insanely efficient they were.
I'm watching it.
Beating Golden State in their own game.
I'm watching
Curry
after we're
went
done.
For like 1-for-11 from three.
Oh God. But then it's just he does that and then he goes back for like, oh, he's gonna go off for 50 next game. It's just you can't predict what he's gonna do. All right, so you guys, you're the T-Wolves addicts, so I have to let Gee, you have to break down this next game, Cavs versus the T-Wolves.
There was no Lev on Tuesday, and I was all by myself at B-Dubs, sipping on drinks, getting a pat on my back, being like, "Welcome back, stranger." And they're like, "Well, damn it, this is my life right now." I needed to take a break from work, and so I went there to watch the game, and I needed to see this game.
What was it that you said about you got stood up by a guy in a hand with a man bun on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Okay.
So enough about the Cleveland game. Let's talk about my relationship status. Well, Kevin Love was out. That's the whole reason why I said that. Okay. And we got completely demolished by people like Tristan Thompson on the offensive glass. Iman Shumpert, who's now rumored to be a Tibbs interest leading up to the trade deadline.
Sure.
Because apparently he can make threes. Channing Frye went for like 5-for-10 from three. And then, of course, LeBron goes like 27, 18, whatever assists, whatever he's doing. And he just took it over like in a moment there in the third where it was a close game and he was like, F that. And he just took over.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Wiggins was just on fire,
scoring
41 points, doing very little else, but he was scoring 41 points.
Sure.
It was so fun to see because in the third quarter, he lights up. He goes up for 20 points in the third quarter. And that was something that we needed to do to stay competitive against the LeBrons.
Yep.
But, you know, Rubio had fucking 16 assists and it was so fun to see all that unfold. But we had Lance Stephenson to blow on LeBron's ear to just create that chaos and turmoil. But he goes down on a fluke ankle injury, and it kind of really set the tone for the rest of the game because we didn't really have – we don't have a third player, you know? We have Towns with his now routine 25-15 type of stat line, which is unbelievable.
That's ridiculous.
He's, like, really emotional in this game, which really takes him off in terms of the fourth quarter production. But it was really annoying because – we saw it live, and you could see it in the highlights. Tristan Thompson just getting the O-board put back.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson getting the O-board dish it back to LeBron for a thrunk. And the worst part of it was Cage Lyon come back. He comes back for that 10-day. Our 10-day gets injured. He goes off for, like, 12 points.
Yeah.
And, you know, D-Will with his, like, dreadlocks, you know. sticking up to us.
Yeah. This is where we need a live podcast. For
it's going to come soon, I think.
For your D Will impersonations.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't have dreads.
Okay, the last game this last week. This is the first NBA Thursday we've skipped in a while, but this this ends up being a Bulls win over the Celtics on 216, 104-103. Not a extremely memorable game. Butler goes off for 29 in this game. The Bulls are perfect from the line in this game. I was like, just a stat you don't see that often. Somebody misses somewhere along the line. I think they were like 22 for 22.
I'm going to interrupt you and say this was a memorable game. This was a back and forth game the whole way through.
What was?
And yeah, okay. And it ended on free throws from a Jimmy Bucket like missed shot,
mm-hmm.
but Marcus Smart like ticks his elbow.
Yeah, yeah,
and gets to the line at the buzzer. You never see that. And if you replay it like 1,000 times,
yeah,
it would never be called in a normal game.
Yeah,
so it was very impactful all right. That regard.
All right, well, I'm glad I got called out as a memorable game. So,
it's probably not that memorable because it's Bulls and Celtics,
yeah.
But in Celtics you would expect to win, and they were like up by 6 or 7 with like a couple minutes left.
Sure. Does it have the physicality of the earlier Bulls-Celtics games
that we saw
earlier in the season? Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's a good game to watch, honestly, but sure. Isaiah Thomas had some insane plays where he's like doing the show and then go type of play, but by himself, it's hilarious,
mm-hmm.
and in the paint, like a little 5 foot nothing, you know,
yeah.
In the paint. It's amazing to see. He can do it all, and he's kind of expected to do it all. And,
yeah.
You know, people are kind of, you know, writing him out sometimes. Like, I think he took it personally when he wasn't announced as a starter.
Yeah.
He's, like, really taking it personally.
I like that, though. Give these guys some fuel. All right, so we're going to move on from our games of the week to some highs and lows. So hit me with some awesome moments of this last week, eh?
You know, Wiggins with 108 in three games. Like, that
is
in the shoes right there, you know?
Sure.
So
Wiggins had 108 in three games. Rubio was leading the league in assists for the last three games. Towns actually ends up being in, like, third for boards. Some pretty interesting stuff. Most of the focuses last week, some awesome moments, were also just around All-Star Weekend itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So that the moment that you had highlighted here, this Jarius Robertson, it's really cool what the NBA is doing with that, because he's a 14-year-old kid who has chronic liver disease, but he got to play in the celeb game.
Mm-hmm.
He has one of my favorite moments of potentially the entire season, of calling out DeAndre Jordan as, "I'm a better shooter than you." And it probably holds up as true.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was signing his like WWF belt, and I'm just like, what kid? If I had like a WWF belt as a 14-year-old, I think I'd wear it everywhere as well. So
I loved what he was doing. He was asked to be an NBA reporter and like interview questions for interview stars or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he asked people like Russell Westbrook and
yeah.
You know, you just need more shooters or something like that. He was like just interrupting the flow of like the KD drama, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
His whole presence this week has been the best part of the All-Star Weekend, I think.
And
you should really go see some of the highlights of what he's done.
Yeah.
But, he made that shot on the Celebrity Game. He asked John Wall, like, what is your favorite food, you know, meal before the game? And he's like, salmon and rice and broccoli. And he's like, F that, man. Green beans. And then he walks away. He's like, he's this amazing personality that, you know, I hope he gets his the treatment that he gets. But it's more about just the awareness about, you know, just the quality of life and living life to the fullest.
All right. So there were some definitely highs over this last week, but there are definitely some lows. A lot of them are centered around last night.
What happens?
So Wes Matthews in the three-point contest, I think he only scores 11. And just awful watching him. I'm like, you're not playing for Dallas in this game, so it's okay to go off. It's
okay to make some shots.
He's not used to it, right? He's not used to winning.
It was terrible. Like, the three-point contest had some really bad shooters. The dunk contest with DeAndre Jordan, Aaron Gordon, just disappointing. And it's just like, we're not expecting that. He's the he's the Vegas favorite to win this thing, he just disappoints. Also, who had the idea to have all of the same dunk the entire night? Where it's just like
jumping over players.
Yeah, we're gonna have either three or four people, and we're all gonna jump over each other.
Or a DJ table.
Yeah. I'm just like, bring the Kia in. Bring the Kia in. Have Blake sit in the Kia. So just make that more memorable. Yeah. Also, can I call out the drone as a terrible moment for last week?
Oh, like, awful. Awful.
Terrible. It was the first dunk of the contest.
And that was killed the energy.
Yeah, we as a meetup saw that and we were just like, oh no. Oh no, no, no. This is where it's going.
Intel, the title sponsor. And it was just blatant. Intel across the entire drone. Like that may be our terrible moment of the year so far.
When we got together to watch a couple of games this week, another person came together, it was Aaron, and he predicted that there was gonna be a drone, and I was like, no way, there can't be a drone.
That's too stupid.
Too stupid.
Well, we're wrong.
Here we are.
Definitely wrong. Also, what was not kind of terribly put together is this shooting for charity, basically, where they're shooting three-pointers on behalf of Sagerstrong, which is a great charity. But the way that they did it was awful. They basically brought players from the stands to
street clothes.
Yeah, street clothes to shoot in their jeans and everything. And it's just like, what a random mix. Like, you have DJ Khaled shooting 3-point. I think he made one. But it's just like,
but if you have DJ Khaled shooting for charity, you're not getting a whole lot for charity.
Yeah. So. Oh god.
It really bummed me out.
I think they made like 13 threes or something. It ended up being like 130,000, and then like Shaq lifted some kid to make another 370,000. So I don't exactly know what was going on. Also, Steph Curry shooting like half court shots and missing almost every one of them.
You missed all of them.
So those half court shots were for the 370,000.
Okay.
I don't know if Curry just hates Craig Sager, RIP, or he's just against charity. I don't know him personally, but yeah. So that kid, Shaq lifting that kid, was to compensate for the fact that Steph Curry can't hit a shot in the clutch.
In terms of somebody also who couldn't hit it in the clutch, Devin Booker got romped in the skills challenge. I think he was a full length behind.
Oh no.
It's brutal.
I loved it because he got so far behind right after the first part because he couldn't make an accurate pass.
I don't think he does pass.
He didn't even get to the point where he had to make a shot. You have to start with being able to distribute the ball to a giant ass circle that's like 5 feet in front of you. Yeah. And he just couldn't comprehend the idea of not shooting it through a hoop. Right.
All right, Gee. So who's visiting us in the O-Man's Lounge this week? Oh, man.
One more time.
Oh, man.
Firepower's taking a hold on me. I need a wonder.
Oh, man.
Knock, 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 knock. Noah Vonleh, man. Just to start this off, right? Noah Vonleh, in an overtime game, logs 14 minutes as a starter.
Yeah.
New hairstyle, too, by the way.
Perfect.
Takes one shot, one turnover,
yeah,
one free throw. Motherfucker, if you didn't have that free throw, the worst part of it, though, is he fouls out. 14 minutes, fouls out, minus whatever.
He fouls out in 14 minutes?
Yeah. In an overtime game.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to your life, Portland fans everywhere.
All right, Tony Allen with 19 minutes, 3 turnovers, and 0 points versus the Pelicans. That's a terrible line. An absolutely terrible line.
But to be trumped by...
Yes.
Glenn the Dunk Champ, if we want to call it the Dunk Champ contest. Champion Robinson III.
Yes.
Was quoted as a post-game AMA on Reddit after he won the contest. Yeah. He's never going to have a Glenn Robinson IV.
Yeah.
Well, he's never also going to have a game like this, I hope, with... 2 shots in 22 minutes, 0 points. Motherfucker, man. Kawhi was such a boogeyman to him.
Andre Robertson joining us in the Old Man's Lounge doesn't surprise me at all. I actually have coupons for him every single week when he comes to visit. What a disastrous performance. 16 minutes, 0 shots. zero shots versus the Wizards. You need to show up versus the Wizards. They're playing good ball. So,
Matthew Dellavedova, a professional NBA point guard for the Milwaukee Bucks, or so Bucks fans will tell you, logs 27 minutes and 3 shots with 5 assists versus Detroit. But unfortunately, it doesn't matter for much when you don't make any of those shots. 0 points for him in that game.
Well, it's a recipe for success because they won.
glad you called that out.
Yeah, thanks. And TJ Warren, Phoenix Suns, another professional basketball player. Welcome back to the Old Man's Lounge. Going to get you a frequent flyer coupon. 26 minutes, 3 shots, and 1 turnover. Versus the Pelicans, and then the ever important 0 points.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, this is tremendous. You know what? You really don't want to join us in the Omen's Lounge because all we're gonna do is criticize you. So put up some points. There were some great plays over the last week, even though we had a shortened week. Most of them centered around our boy Andrew Wiggins. So Andrew Wiggins,
A&W.
Boy, he throws down a massive dunk versus Denver. I believe that this was earlier
last week against Denver, yeah.
Yeah, Denver over Jokic.
Jokic?
Yep. Damn it. It's okay. I was trying to sucker you out saying that first, so I didn't say that. But I mean, he was crushing it. So the only plays I saw to actually highlight were basically Andrew Wiggins plays. Mm-hmm. Over the last week.
I almost spilled my beer watching that play.
Yeah, we made a scene in public for that play. It was just so unexpected. And, I mean, Jokic is a big dude. Dunking over / through him is tough to do for anybody.
Yeah.
And he, to his credit, and I guess, to Wiggins' credit even more, he actually makes a solid straight-up attempt at getting in his way and stopping him. And Wiggins was just having no part of it.
Wiggins throws down a monster third quarter buzzer beater versus the Cavs. And it's like, this wasn't for the game, but the way that this shot happened, like the crowd erupted after. Were you watching this one live as well? Of course you were. No, so that shot is awesome. We're going to post that up on our Twitter. Paul Millsap has a little floater over at the Blazers to kind of send this game into OT last Monday. So that was a pretty decent shot, but it's the Hawks, so I wasn't watching that game. A couple other interesting shots. KCP, it goes like 2 for 10 from three-pointer last week, but one of his three-pointers ends up winning the game for Detroit. So, hey, 2 for 10.
Hey, make it when it counts.
Yep.
But definitely the play of the week, which I don't want to announce, so go ahead.
Okay. The play of the week is LeBron's no-look pass.
Disgusting.
And to Derek Williams, unbelievable. This is against the T-Wolves.
Goes through the legs of Wiggins, too.
Yeah, boy. But it's a sick pass. And those guys, just the way that they pass some of these games, it's worth highlighting. It's better than some of the dunks that we see.
Oh,
so,
yeah, for sure.
So I'm gonna try and find clips and throw those up on Ryan_ThePine on Twitter. So more to come. Actually, we also need an Instagram account to throw up some of these good some of our favorite plays.
Yeah, it's in the works, man. It's in the works.
All right. So we're going to do it like we always do. We're going to the three-man weave.
Hey, what's good, fellas?
What an answer.
The only answer to this question, not even the correct one, the only one, is Russell Westbrook.
Interesting.
I'm doing how Harlem Globetrotter shit around my body, spinning on my finger right now. The second, will crying LeBron replace crying Jordan in the memosphere this season?
So, where are we starting this week for the three men?
We got about an hour and a half before the start of the All-Star game.
Yes.
Let's do some quick predictions.
All right, let's do this.
Okay, so we got like 42 points by Wilt Chamberlain as a record for the All-Star game. Is that going to be broken?
42 points, I don't think is broken. Okay. I think there's enough players here going to go off, but I don't think 42 will get broken.
We've had a back-to-back All-Star MVP by Russell Westbrook.
Yep. Yes.
Is it going to be back-to-back-to-back? Is he going to three-peat?
I think he's angry enough this year that I think that could happen.
Yeah, so kind of tying that back to the points prediction, I think the only person that would get it would be a Russell Westbrook.
Sure.
But I think that there's too much turmoil and friction right now in the West where there are going to be people on Russ's team on the West that don't want to see him setting records. So I think it's going to go one of two ways. Either one, they're going to try to compensate for it and make everybody think that they're being nice guys. And you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
By giving the ball to Westbrook and acting all friendly with him. Or it's just going to be that like melodramatic, kind of shady, passive-aggressive stuff. And they're just going to be – like they're going to be passing it to him, but they're going to be like throwing it as hard as they can at his head and stuff and then yelling at him when it goes out of bounds. So I don't predict that he's going to break the points, and I can see the East – or the MVP going to somebody on the East because of that. Or at least that's what I'm hoping happens. I love the narrative. I can't get off it.
Is there going to be a melodramatic in the East?
Oh,
no, edit that out.
Wow.
That's dumb.
I'm going to take a lap. In my prediction, might be like Isaiah Thomas or Kyrie Irving going off on this game.
Sure.
And maybe taking over the 42 points. Just
but Irving's not going to go off for the first part of the game because he doesn't go off for the first part of any game. Oh, so sure. It's really if he closes it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I would love to see an IT or a John Wall or somebody like forego points and just be diming it for the entire game.
That'd be because, so cool, right?
Exactly, because you can make flashy passes. Nobody's going to sub you out of the game for it. So take the risk.
25 dimes.
Yeah, exactly. Like nobody's even playing defense, and the guys that are cutting, like you just throw the ball to whoever's closest to the basket.
Easy.
All game, and you'll be close to the record. Which what do we got? 22 by Magic. That's nothing. I can do that. Yeah.
25 dimes. So the final score ends up being like 212-188 or something like
please,
that.
Please have, let that happen. The record was set last year as 196.
Jeez.
So let's see.
I think it can get beat. Yeah. I think it definitely can get beat. All right. So other thoughts. Other
just MVP
other
predictions,
questions.
Really quick. Like who's going to take it? Like AD has been on record saying it's my hometown. I got to represent. I'm taking it. Isaiah Thomas is like, I got to wear this fucking crown right now. I'm taking it. Kyrie Irving is like, I got to take what's back what's mine. So he wants to get it too. So who and maybe LeBron's in the mix too. You know, LeBron might be like, I'll play 4 minutes. I might play 40 minutes.
I don't see LeBron taking it. Not this year. I'm going with.
And then there's the Westbrook.
I think I'm going with Westbrook. Yeah. I think that's a hard call to make, but I think he's going to do it. Thoughts from you guys?
I think it's Westbrook. I want to say Kevin Durant, but I can see the two of those guys trying to like outcompete each other for MVP.
Yeah.
And then
that'd be sick.
And then Westbrook taking that more seriously than Kevin Durant does because
he always does.
Because look at the scoreboard. Because I got three teammates on this. I don't have to care about MVP and all of that. So I think it has to be Westbrook, but I want it to be somebody else.
All right. Well, I'll go with the field. I'll pick someone a little smaller, and I'll go with Isaiah Thomas taking it.
Nice.
I thought you were going to go with Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward. I forgot he was even like part of this.
Just kidding. all right. So MVP predictions. We talked a little bit about points. I don't think anybody is going to eclipse that 42. Mm-hmm. Steals or blocks, the Rick Barry steal record, and I think the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar block record, I think they're going to stand. Mm-hmm. I think six blocks is a massive block game. And in a game without any defense, I just don't see how that's even possible.
Right. I think at one point a couple of years ago they had four Atlanta Hawks on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
And this year it's going to be about the same with four Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Who's the fifth player going to be with that team for that lineup, that duration?
The 4-1.
Yeah.
Is it Westbrook? I don't know. I think it might be.
Well, all the hype, all the drama leading up to it. Maybe Steve Kerr, just kind of
he just
plays with us a little bit.
Here's what I'll say about that. As I think that. Yeah, this is totally serious, though. It might sound like a joke. I think that this decision on Steve Kerr actually will determine what his legacy in the NBA is.
Sure,
sure. Steve Kerr has had to make no controversial or game-hinging decisions as a coach
you're right,
so
you're
far
right,
in
you're
his
right.
career. Right? Like, I could coach the Golden State Warriors to 60 wins. and he managed to do the 73, which is amazing, and I give credit to him for that. But like when you're going down the stretch in the finals, like his the biggest thing that his career is hinged on right now is that he put Andre Iguodala on LeBron James in the finals in, what was that, 2015?
Yeah.
And again, good for him. But nobody knows who this fifth guy is going to be. Yeah. Everybody knows who they want it to be, and everybody knows like what would be the most exciting. But he's like he's teasing us a little bit. He's said that he's only going to put the four Warriors on the court. He's going to do that, but only for a little while. And he's really being dodgy about these questions of who the fifth guy is going to be. And so it's either going to be like what everybody wants it to be, or the most dud thing that a coach could possibly do over All-Star Weekend, and that's what people are going to remember about Steve Kerr.
I got it. But he also could go. He could do the Hoosiers experiment, and he could go just four. he just goes four, creates just like sends the internet into a fucking fury.
I'll one up that. Steve Kerr dresses for the game, and he takes off of his jacket and is wearing a number 25 jersey.
I love it. That's it. Has to be the only way this gets resolved.
Say, Guy, when I'm looking at the All-Star records, there is something that isn't up there, and that's the turnover record. And I believe that James Harden could throw that down over the course of this game. Yeah, so, at 10.
This is hilarious. So, in the dunk contest, they threw out this drone, right? The very first dunk?
Yeah.
Are they going to bust out the drone for this game, too, and, like, drop it from, like, midcourt?
I hope so,
Go on.
And if it's a success, are they going to start using drones for games now?
Like, well, my prediction was it just a strict drone game, which would probably have a higher rating than the Rising Stars game, and definitely more, probably better ratings than the celeb game as well.
Some drone on drone action.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about something a little bit more serious on the from the celeb game aspect? What the former player aspect of this, that is driving me nuts.
Yeah.
What? So some of the players are personalities, some are like media figures, and then the other people are just former players who are not good enough to play.
The other
else.
People are Baron Davis. Yeah, so right. Yeah.
Like why would they do that?
You have the lead singer of Arcade Fire like throwing up 20 points.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Baron Davis chucking. I don't, you know?
Like, yeah, just like take the former players out of it.
Yeah.
Also, it raised a point for me with the big three when they have their All-Star game, how they can't have former players because they'll probably be dead.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I'm expecting a drone game somewhere in the future.
Yeah. You wanted to say something about
that? Oh, yeah. I was just going to suggest that the drone is the fifth player that Steve Kerr does. And that's why he's being dodgy about this, right? Oh, like, he doesn't want to admit that he's selling out to Intel and that you're going to see a drone dressed up in the Western Conference's gear.
It'd be so fitting because Intel would be then, you know, the sponsor for the Warriors. Jesus.
All right. So any last thoughts for the three-man this week?
Well, who's going to take it, West or East?
I'm going West. Yeah. I've already called West for this morning, so
okay.
It is verifiable up on Twitter at How3.
It's got the blue check mark.
Oh, it does. Hey, I'm not verified yet, but it will be. So, all right, the Ramblin' Gambler.
The Ramblin' Gambler.
Whoa! Man. Ramblin' Gambler here. Ramblin' Gambler. Into the Ramblin' Gambler is back this week, and I need to talk a little bit about the fact of just betting on All-Star Saturday night. I actually do a pretty decent performance and go 2-1. I called the dunk champion Glenn Robinson III. Unbelievable. End up pulling some money off of that one, as well as calling Eric Gordon for the 3-point contest. Also, as well as not buying into this hype with Clay even making it into the finals. Beyond that, the skills challenge, I get a little bit off. I get a little bit off, but I did call Hayward in the last episode, so you can go back and check episode 24. It is in there. So he ended up getting second in that. So I say I specialize in kind of the obscure challenges, so yeah. It's really, really fun to bet on these games, and just the All-Star Weekend in general, especially for me, the Ramblin' Gambler. I love I love to take part in it because it's things you just don't get to see on a normal NBA night. So, all right, we're gonna go over to this week in basketball. There's a little bit of league activity, even though it's a little bit quiet. Players of the week this last week: LeBron James and Blake Griffin. Hey, there are some trades that happened this last week. Gee, you want to break down the trades for us?
I think there was just one of the Serge Ibaka.
Okay.
Serge Ibaka for Terrence Ross and a first-round pick, which is pretty amazing for Orlando because they get that first-round pick, and they've made a lot of mistakes along the way to get that first-round pick, and basically they gave away their future for a first-round pick. So it was hilarious to see that. And
they gave away their future and a first-round pick for a first-round pick. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, which is hilarious. They're trying to rebound a little bit, and they lost their rebounds with Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
So Serge Ibaka for Toronto
is
a cool fit in theory, and I hope it works. I hope it works. It makes the top of the East really kind of crazy and messy right now, too, because Washington's surging, but this could really rejuvenate like the fifth seed Toronto Raptors, and maybe they can make a name for him. And that really is pushing Boston's hand now too, right? Boston needs to make a move because now Toronto's looking better in the long run than Boston.
So
maybe you might see some rumors with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and I've definitely seen those. But there's some other players kind of in the mix. Hey, when is the actual trade deadline? Is that before our next episode?
It's February 26th, I believe.
Okay,
it will be.
So like, it'll be
next Sunday.
We'll be recording on the trade deadline, which will be awesome.
Yeah, sure.
So. All right, so there's a couple players to be watching. You talked about Jimmy Butler, Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond, Lopez are definitely kind of in trade discussions. Obviously, all this stuff is in varying levels of progress. So we could see a lot of activity. We could see a little activity. It's damn hard to say. And if it's anything like last summer was, it'll just be a flurry.
But last trade deadline was not. So,
okay.
I'm expecting a very tame trade deadline.
Okay.
But then I saw this note that, Wojnowski is throwing up a trade deadline show.
Yeah.
And his draft show was like a huge hit.
Yeah.
And so he's probably, hedging his bets, saying there's going to be a lot of activity. Yeah. So let's throw a little show on there.
But he's on Yahoo, so they're throwing up content just to stay alive. So,
Brooke Lopez is really kind of the hot ticket for me. I saw a lot of talks a couple weeks ago of Brooke Lopez possibly to Portland to try to get assets in the way of Brooklyn, and then get Portland a little bit of some solidification on both the 3-point line and the interior defense. But they made that Nurkic trade, so that one got kind of canned, so I'm interested to see what other talks come up for them. It's an interesting situation, and I don't know, it's kind of like a DeMarcus Cousins and the Kings light situation.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm really interested to see what Brooklyn tries to make of that, and if they get fleeced, as Brooklyn is wont to do.
And a little bit of other NBA news, and I want your take on this stat, God. The Heat have named Shane Battier the Director of Basketball Development and Analytics for the Heat, so... Thoughts on that?
When I first heard this news, I thought that it was a great choice. Now I'm starting to question Duke's education system based on other news that has surfaced in the last couple of weeks. But in all seriousness, I've always been a big supporter of Shane Battier. Like, he's a great guy to have in an organization. Just a little bit of media presence that he has had since retiring, it's been really awesome. He's a well-spoken guy. He knows the game really well. He's obviously been part of that Heat franchise during some of their more important years in the last five. So I've been on record saying I love that some teams in the NBA are embracing the whole analytics movement. And at the same time, I think that there are certain circumstances where you can take that a little too seriously and maybe go a little too far with it. So I think that the hiring of Battier was a very, very sweet middle ground for that, where he's obviously got he's a good basketball mind, but he's also a very intelligent guy in a position where he's going to be able to use both aspects of that to really help that organization. And I'm excited to see if they start to make some changes either to their roster or their game plan that kind of reflect that.
Yeah, sure.
We'll have to see. It's a discussion, I guess, for the trade deadline and for free agency next year. It's going to be pretty cool.
Nice. Cool.
In lighter news, people are coming out with world is flat theories. most specifically Kyrie Irving, and it's become a talking point this All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like a huge con. Like it's this huge troll attempt by Kyrie Irving and then Draymond Green, who's now also in the podcast game for some reason.
Blech.
He has a podcast and he's talking about how the world is flat and how media and scientists are just like, you know, showing up, you know, propaganda just to make us believe this. And I hope they're fucking not serious. But if they are, it's just.
But this isn't like the Thomas Friedman world is flat. This is like they actually think the world is physically flat.
That's what they're saying.
Jesus Christ! All right, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Exactly, but that's what's really cool about what Russell Westbrook is doing is how to respond to media questions and things like that are just being trolling attempts at trying to stir drama or trying to create some sort of like, you know, talking point or headline news. Mm-hmm. He's just been answering all questions regarding, you know, KD and like all these other crap to just talking about Fashion Week.
I love that. All right, as I got called out this last week, I'm bringing up this story again that we're still waiting for the G League deal to close. It is the D League until this actually solidifies, but I'm also going to go on record and say that they're going to have an individual flavor for each team.
Purple drink?
Yeah, definitely. Purple drink. All right, so we're going to get into next week in ball. It should be a lot of activity after the All-Star weekend here. So RTP game of the week, the Clippers versus the Warriors on 224. Some games of note. We have the Heat versus the Hawks, 224, the Spurs versus the Clips, and the Celtics versus the Raptors. Yeah. So some of the worst games, we have the Cavs versus the Knicks, which I think is an awful game. And the way that the Blazers and Magic are playing, that should be a terrible, terrible game.
Most definitely.
All right, my obscure game of the week. This is from the Kazakhstan Basketball Championship. This is Bartsy Atreyu versus BC Asafanya. So, all right, so that wraps episode 25 for Riding the Pine. All right, so follow us at Ryden underscore the pine and at Guy Dota, at How3, at Vex Intellects. If you're in Seattle, please join us for our meetup called NBA Thursday. We're also throwing some events on the weekend. So NBA Thursday on the weekends is coming. So stay with us for episode 26. Guy, take it away.
After getting served their own game against Denver, Stephen Curry responds to post-game questions saying that we just got served humble slice of cupcake.
This is Hondo Guy with Stat God. We out.
Who the fuck eats cupcakes by the slice?
Also.